But there's a different, I think there's another like subtle difference to that. If you're golden, it's again, it goes back to the, it's a game of chicken. You want an asset. I want an asset. You don't. We're playing the same games here from completely different perspectives. I get it. You're trying to maximize this young asset that you have. You don't want him.
Right.
Not only do I know it, the whole league knows it. You've been pretty vocal about guys like Anthony Slater, Sam Amick, Marcus Thompson. They don't get this type of information regarding the Warriors' perspective on Jonathan Kuminga on accident. These are all well-connected and very established reporters. We all know. We know your playbook. So I will make you an offer. If you want to sign him, if you can throw your hands up. Ultimately, we could talk about who has. There's so much conversation about leverage and all of this stuff. The ball's in Jonathan Kuminga's court to a certain degree also. And there's that qualifying offer. No, go ahead. I sign it right now. You can't trade me. You can't do nothing with me. You could sit me next year. The book on me has been written. I'm not going to be able to change anyone. I could go out and go for 40 next year per game. But if this team is a 40-win team while I'm doing, no one's going to care. They're going to think exactly the same way that they think about me today, 6 months from now. It's up to me to stay healthy. Right. That's what this all boils down to.
And that's
that, and the same, sorry. It reminds me of one thing I saw Anthony Slater now of ESPN, right, is something. Kuminga's been open to the Kings. And bro, you better. Because you're not really in a position to be closed-minded to anything. I don't know what league you think you're negotiating in.
Right.
But, yeah, like, if it's the Kings, if it's the Hornets, if it's the Utah Jazz, if your goal is to get paid and to get out of Golden State, you need to be open to anybody who's talking.
Slater talked about how they actually met in Vegas for the first time. Scott Perry, B.J. Armstrong, and Kuminga, and it went well. To your point, that's where me and Jesse landed on, like, it doesn't feel like you have to do that because of the situation. So I try everything in the world not to give up Keon Ellis because I don't feel like I have to. That's not the market. But just for answering an argument's sake, like, as much as I love Keon, I wouldn't. That opportunity, that chance, and it is a chance, it is a gamble with Jonathan Kuminga, the upside that he has. That's the type of move the Kings are looking for. That's the type of young player, young talent the Kings are looking for. If they tanked, they'd be looking for a Jonathan Kuminga. You got an opportunity to get that guy right here. And I wouldn't not do that.
But isn't there still a question of, see, this line has become such a buzzword. Kings fan says on YouTube, Kings have all the leverage. Why would they cave? The Kings don't have leverage. The Warriors don't have leverage.
I think everybody has their version of leverage.
Yeah, I don't.
The Warriors can just sign him.
But Kuminga has to sign it,
right? But like, they can offer him something that will get him to sign, if they want to. Or if somebody wants him, they have to trade for him because clearly nobody's gonna.
No one's gonna give him a qualifying offer.
Yeah, so they have to have a deal that's going to, that they're going to have to accept. They don't have to take just any deal in this situation. That's their leverage. Kuminga's is the qualifying offer situation. That's his.
That's not the best leverage either.
It isn't. I think
it's like a no-win situation. It's literally the situation no one wants that he's in firm control of. He doesn't want it, but the Warriors don't want it. And any team looking to seriously acquire him doesn't want it because they lose any chance to get him the second he signs it.
Right. I think he has kind of the least.
And that's what this all boils down to is, do the Sacramento Kings want him that bad?
And that's where we talk. Yeah.
Or are we just like, hey, we want to get him here. Mm-hmm. We're trying to take advantage of a situation as well. We're trying to take advantage of a unique situation in a unique market at a unique time for, I should say, a unique situation at a unique time for the market. And everyone's just kind of sitting here.
And that's the other question that we're not sure of, and that would also affect a Keon Ellis situation. If you want Jonathan Kuminga that bad, you go get him. You go close the deal. You figure it out. If you're like, we want him, but it's got to be 100% on our terms, then you stick to your guns.
No.
And also realize by doing that, you may miss out on him. And if you miss out on him, are you cool? Are you looking at it as a missed opportunity? If not, then just keep doing what you're doing. But if you really, if Scott Perry and, because, I mean, after that conversation, I guess they were like, hey, you know, we'll start you. We want to give you all the options in the world. Maybe after talking to Jonathan Kuminga, like, man, this is a guy I really want to take a chance on. Like, I think this is, it's a good opportunity for us. If you feel that way, you kind of, maybe this is bad negotiating or I cave first in this situation, but like, I want this guy on the team. I have to go get him. I got to finish this out. I got to finish the deal. I don't want to go through all of this just to miss out on him. If that's how they feel, you know, if they felt that strongly about him, you close the deal, man. Close the deal. But I don't know how they feel. That's the whole thing. Nobody really knows.
Yeah. Leezy didn't get enough airtime last week. So
my boy Leezy.
916-909-1320. What's up, Leezy?
Yo, yo, D-Lo, Casey, Jesse. Ain't nothing but gangsta party. What's up, y'all?
What up, Leezy?
Let's take a lap, bro. Yeah,
come on, Leezy. What up, bro?
Hey, D-Lo. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, hey, D-Lo, I wanted to just ask you a question, boss. Now, here we go. Do you think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback?
Goodbye, Leezy.
Please help me settle this debate.
Goodbye, Leezy. D-Lo. Goodbye, Leezy. Jason Jones coming up in a couple minutes.
Oh, the other part of TC's call where he said, when he's talking about Robert Saleh, is he says yesterday that you get like Juwan Jennings reporting and Brandon Ayuk is there even though he's hurt. He says they're doing that because of Robert Saleh. That's why. All those other holdouts that we had in the past, they didn't respect Kyle, but they respect Robert Saleh. So that's why they showed up. That's why these offensive players showed up to training camp on time.
Well, they respect Bob, so they want to help out his defense.
You know, the line between TC and Mitch.
And no, it blurs.
It's
day.
Very it blurs. Blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did, was he here when we found out Mitch was of Latin descent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He said his brother.
I've heard
brother
from Mitch.
He said his brother Jesse.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Mitch is Colombian, too.
This all happened last week, huh?
Yeah. Mitch dropped in East LA and everything.
He told the line. He told the line a little bit.
Yeah.
He told the line, but he said his brother. His brother, Jesse. Yeah. You know.
It's fascinating.
Welcome back, man.
Thanks, man.
You know something I heard this morning that it's not groundbreaking or anything, but it just, I was like, damn, for real? Did you know Brock Purdy's 24?
Wow. I don't think I did.
I didn't think he was that young. He's 24 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Were you expecting
him to be
younger?
Yeah,
I guess
that makes sense.
I thought, like, if you asked me what
he's been in the league, what, 3 years?
Yeah, so he did that at 21?
Yeah.
When, if you would have asked me before I found that out, like, how old is Brock Purdy? I'd be like, probably 26, probably turned 27 this year. That's what I would have thought.
He'll turn 26 in December.
25.
I think 26.
Oh, I heard he was 24 today.
Am I looking at the wrong Brock Purdy? Brock Purdy's birthday, at least according to Wiki, is December 27th.
How you get Chatty House on age?
Tim Kawakami said it, and Matt Barrows. 25. I was listening to their podcast. They're like, 25? Yeah, the 24-year-old just had a baby.
Oh, it turns 26 December 27th.
Yeah, he turns.
I still wouldn't have thought he was 25. It wasn't even how I get Chatty House by Tim Kawakami and Matt Barrows.
They got child. They said
it. They said it. I was, because he just had the baby, and they were like, man, all this for the 24-year-old, turning, getting a baby, having a contract, all this other stuff. That was them. That ain't, I'm not wearing that one. That's them.
Wow.
That's them. These are reputable. I heard it with their own voice. This wasn't even a tweet. Maybe that's not me.
Maybe they misspoke. It's not me. They misspoke.
Oh, so when it happens to them, they misspeak. When it happens to me, I get Chetty House. Why didn't they get Chetty House?
Just saying, man.
He's still a little younger than I thought. I thought he was gonna like 27 or so.
Let's see. We will say Tim Kawakami, and you said it was Matt Barros.
Yes.
Get Chetty House. Well, I can't find it anymore. The original Chetty House
video. Now they're calling him Buddy Hill.
This is the difference. No, this is the difference right here.
Searching for Jimmy Hoffa's body. Like, I don't know where it is.
Wait for it.
Whoa, we got some. Hold on. What do we got? I didn't get it yet. What do we got?
Yep. Shams reports, of course Shams does.
Yep,
free agent forward DeMar DeRozan has agreed to a 2-year, $60 million deal with Kenny Domus, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
Called it, Kenny.
Duck.
Okay.
Kenny Domus.
The original Chetty House right there.
Yeah, so today,
Kenny realized in about 4 seconds that he got.
Oh, man, that was a cold game. That was a cold game, man.
So, yeah, you heard it here on D'Lo and KC. Brock Purdy actually 25 going on 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kawakami, feed me false info, man.
See how many can get blocked by Tim Kawakami today if you tweet him that Brock Purdy's going to turn 26 in December.
Boo him. Boo him. That's not on me. That's not on me. I swear to God, my hands are clean on this one.
It's almost like not doing a press conference because of it or something.
Jason Jones joins us next here on ESPN 1320. All right, our man Jason Jones is going to join us here in just a minute. I want to try to get this story in because it's a Disneyland story, and so we'll have to kind of leave it after that. So we took a really early flight out of Sacramento, and we know the you know, tough part of that is you're the likelihood of checking into a hotel at like 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning is going to be really difficult. But Katie's got pool at Disneyland, so we thought we'd try to, you know, we try to figure it out. So we flew out really early. We got there and we're at the Disneyland Resort, and we're checking in, and we're talking to this wonderful woman named Melissa who helped us our entire stay. She actually checked us into the room really, really early, like 9:47 or something. She was terrific. We actually had to switch rooms on the last day, and she did the same thing. She checked us in at like 8 o'clock. So we were able to just move from one room to the other. She was just a fantastic cast member, but we're talking to her, and Katie and I are at the front desk, and we're checking in. You know, Katie's Miss Personality and Melissa's Miss Personality, and they're doing this thing. And all of a sudden, we hear this woman approach my left. So the next person over, she comes up. I want to remind you, my brother, it is 8:58 a.m. She comes up to the front desk at Disneyland before 9 a.m. Yeah. And says, I just had a really disappointing experience at Trader Sam's.
What?
And she lays into no less than a 20-minute diatribe about everything that went wrong at this restaurant, Trader Sam's.
At 9 a.m.?
She was sat at a high top when she didn't want to sit at a high top. Oh, she wanted to sit at a low table. Her kids had dietary restrictions. It was just like she, 9 a.m. at Disneyland, is furious. And we're all kind of looking at each other like, this lady is like trembling. She's so angry. So we went and, you know, we did whatever we had to do when we were able to check in like an hour or whatever later. We went straight to Melissa. We go, hey, what happened? She goes, I don't know, but somehow she got the head of food and beverage on the line.
Oh, snap.
So we dubbed her Disneyland Karen. As we welcome in our
the
man.
The head of food and beverage, though.
Yo, that's crazy. We welcome in our man, Jason Jones, rocking a Tyrese Halliburton WWE shirt.
Shout out, Howie.
How many wrestling shirts do you have to own before you cop the Tyrese Halliburton joint?
I don't know. No. But I got way too many, probably.
Fair enough.
I saw our boy Jacob Fatu got merch out. I need to get one. You got the Yadadameen. Yeah. Gotta get one of those joints.
You can get it. Just burn that hat you're wearing.
What's wrong with this hat? It's stylish. It goes with what I'm wearing. What are you talking about? Your hat is ugly. They don't even wear black.
Okay. Well, this is for Jason, actually. I'm not talking to you. I was at Disneyland over the weekend. I've seen these before. It's the first time I've seen them in person. Those Dodger jerseys with the gold in them are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Those are beautiful. One of those. I was like, oh, man.
I got Kenny one for his birthday. It should be.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Put the receipt in there, please.
I'll take the Otani. He can't wait.
I'll just keep the money. Put the receipt in there, please.
No.
I gotta. We'll put this to bed.
Okay.
But we gotta ask Jason. Mm. You're a huge wrestling fan.
Mm.
You're also black.
No.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan passes away on Thursday. Clearly, you saw the social media reaction. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction when he passed? And then your reaction to the reaction of his passing?
I didn't really have a reaction to him passing. I think I thought he was older, but I didn't have like a, you know, I cried when Bray Wyatt died.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't have a reaction to Hogan. I just didn't. Even as a kid, I wasn't a big Hogan fan. I was always a Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just some of the versions of Hogan that he became, that came out about him, it just didn't move me to be like jarred. It's like, okay, you know, all right, you know, yeah, you know, he's, you know, still probably singly the most important figure in the business's history because of what he did in the 80s. But I wasn't going to act like he was, you know, like I was. You know, it's like thoughts and prayers to his family. But I mean, I wasn't going to be writing some stirring tribute of a thing. I think Dave Zarin wrote a big thing about, he basically called him a liar or a racist and an anti-union scab.
Well, so none of those things are necessarily wrong.
Yeah, they're not wrong. You know, but it's just, I couldn't, you know, I had no emotional anything about it. Like, you know, it was like, it's like a celebrity past. So, you know, celebrity past. It wasn't like, you know, I didn't have any type of, you know, I saw a lot of people, particularly people who look like me, writing about, I know what he said, but he was about my childhood. I'm like, freaking character. Calm down. He's a character. He was a character. It was not a real, Hulk Hogan is not a real person. He's a character.
And that's something we were talking about earlier, is understanding the mourning. And I think the thing for people like us, Jason, is we mourn the loss of Hulk Hogan, the character, 10 years ago.
Yeah. The Hulk Hogan character died when he told us how he felt about his daughter's boyfriend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And his lack of apology, his apology was, don't get caught being recorded. Don't get recorded without knowing. That was his apology.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stuff he did during the presidential campaign. And, you know, I just, like I said, Hulk Hogan, the character, great for business, you know, great for the, you know, Hulk Hogan. But Terry Bollea, okay. It's like, okay, so what's for breakfast?
And to be honest with you, you know, he never shied away from how he feels about us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he never, Bomani Jones had the quote earlier, I was telling Damien, he's like, he's lied about a lot of things in life. Like, just lied. He made sure to make it be, I didn't lie about anything I said about that. I feel how I feel about supporting Trump or my daughter's boyfriends and all this other stuff. The man who lies all the time made sure to be like, no, that's that's what it is.
That whole line about what if about not wanting to die because what if karma brings him back as a black person?
Jesus.
I'm just like, you know, and you think about all the wrestlers of, you know, some of the whatever the great names of the past. You like, who was like his wrestler that was a friend of his that was black? Like, where's the, you know, who was that? Like, you know, Undertaker hung out with the Godfather, you know. Who did he hang out with? Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, and who else? Like,
I don't know how many friends in the business Hulk Hogan actually
had. Yeah, and that's the other part. If you remove the racism of it, a lot of people like just don't like him.
Yeah.
You know, like I think Bret Hart could write a whole, I think the only person Bret Hart hates more than him is Goldberg.
That's 100%. And here's the thing. Bret Hart has been on the right side of history when it comes to Goldberg.
Yeah. That man got a retirement match that he didn't deserve necessarily.
And complained just about it.
What they did, they cut his speech off?
Yeah.
Like, he got a match that no one wanted to see.
Bro, you ain't cut a promo in 25 years. No one wants to hear what your ass has to say.
Gunther helped make that match watchable. And your response and your reaction is to basically, like, it wasn't good enough.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, before Cody Raheem's Rose showed up, you know, there was always Brett, you know, Hakeem Hart.
Yeah,
you know, Brett's always been solid with me.
The
know.
Canadian dream. Yep.
Brett Gilgis Alexander Hart.
Oh man! Shout out, Brett. He was right all along.
Yeah,
Brett. You know, you may not like how he said, but Brett was not wrong. Yeah. That story about Jesse Ventura tells about how they were trying to unionize and Hogan went and snitched.
That's crazy. I hadn't heard about that until recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was crazy. Jesse hates that man. Hates him. Yeah.
And even some of the faces of the guys during the whole 10 bell count, I didn't know if CM Punk wanted to laugh or throw up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think Jacob was kind of just like, okay, why am I out here again?
Mm-hmm. Solo had that look too. Solo was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like you missed back in like the 70s and 80s and even the 90s when you didn't know how terrible of people your celebrities really were. You would find out like in a tell all book after they died, you realize he hated all black people. What?
It's like no one knew how horrible Walt Disney was until long after he was gone.
Yeah. Everyone had been enjoying Disneyland and it was a place where, it's like, you go, wow.
Disneyland would never get off the ground today.
Yeah, this ain't gonna fly. This ain't gonna fly, guys.
Oh, man.
Now, with that said, Jay, I've been able to separate the two. You know, Hogan is the greatest wrestler of all time. We were talking about it earlier, and specifically we're talking about that match with The Rock. I think it might be the greatest match of all time, at the very least, top three. It had everything theater-wise. It didn't have the technical aspect of it, but the theater and what I feel for a lot of people wrestling is supposed to do, which is invoke emotion, It doesn't get any better than that match right there.
And the fact that they flipped that on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, going into that match, Hogan was the heel. Mm-hmm. And then when the crowd clearly was behind him, they flipped that. I mean, in terms of the business, he changed the business twice.
Yep.
He changed it in the 80s.
Yep.
And when he went to WCW and then brought in the idea of guaranteed contracts, you know, They got Hall and Nash with the guaranteed contracts, changed the way they did the travel. Vince either had to adapt or get or lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the man changed the business twice. You can't deny his impact, you know, and just because he was a horrible human being away from the business, it doesn't change what he did in the business. I mean, in terms of influence and impact, he's the number one wrestler of all time. To me, that's not even a debate. I've heard people try to debate it would be Stone Cold. I'm like, without Hogan, there is no Stone Cold.
Not even close. Not even close.
Stone Cold's just some redneck guy we see on TV every week.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah. I said, you know, Hogan changed the merchandising game. I mean, He had a cartoon. They had stuff they never would have had. He made wrestling become popular culture.
Yeah, you know? Rock and wrestling. That was a big deal.
Yeah, being in the Rocky movie, all that stuff. I mean, you can't deny the man's impact on the business. Just that, you know, there's a lot of people who entertain me who I would never want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be in the list of people who I thought were entertaining. But would I want to sit down and have just hang out with him? No.
There's no question Hogan is the number one wrestler of all time. I think there is some question, or maybe there isn't, about who the number one Los Angeles Laker is right now.
Oh,
there is a men's health magazine that is making the rounds of the NBA right now, and it centers on Luka Doncic. Apparently, there's also a new workout video that centers around LeBron James.
I'm still here, guys.
As well. First, Luka is clearly in shape, and I do want to point out, this isn't skinny Luka. Like, Luka looks shredded. Like, he looks like he's in really good shape. You see definition in his arms that I don't think has been there at all during his career. You have an outline of the way that he's eating. It's a very good article, even though there might be a few mishaps in it. It's a very good article, but you being our resident Laker fan here, you buying into this new men's health Luka Doncic?
Well, I'm one of two Laker fans here, but
well, it's a good point. Okay. It's a good point.
Settle
it's a good
down.
Point.
This
it's my
is
fault.
Ridiculous.
That's my fault. I apologize. Yeah. You're correct.
It's really ridiculous.
I mean, I'm all for it. I call him our Slovenian savior, you know. And we need him to be in shape. And I think, you know, in terms of, like, you look at my history, you see that calf injury that he wouldn't play on, and then you get to the playoffs and see these guys tearing their Achilles and everything. His medical team might have been just might have been right about that. Don't come back. Of course, when he got to L.A., he clearly wasn't in shape. But with that injury, you're not going to be running around. But I think a lot of times you see with a lot of athletes, they get around the mid to late 20s. They realize they can't just eat how they want to eat anymore. They got to take the, you know, LeBron was probably one of the first who was on that kind of early. But remember, Kobe said he ate pepperoni pizza before he scored 81 points. That was his pregame meal that day. The story is, you know, and I've seen how a lot of these guys, you know, I remember seeing guys, they'd be drinking like Pepsi right before tip off and just grabbing whatever. But usually there comes a time where the guy figures out, you know what, if I want to keep doing this for the long run, I can't eat like I'm 17 years old. Like, that's what made the whole Aunt Edwards Netflix thing so crazy. He's eating like hot Cheetos and in like hot wings. He's eating like a little like a sixth grade, like, you know, like a middle school girl on the playground, like just eating just like whatever he was, you know. But eventually most of these guys figure out, hey, if I want to, you know, not be gassed in the fourth quarter, I might want to have some vegetables and not be operating on Cheetos.
Yeah.
So I think part of it was going to be part of the progression. I also think we can't act like he's not pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got sent out of Dallas and the whole world said, we weren't going to pay you because you're fat and lazy. So
yeah.
That, you know, then meanwhile, LeBron's doing what LeBron knows. LeBron's going to get up like another hour earlier now to prove that he's still in shape. But LeBron's a freak of nature. You know, yes. I don't know. Yeah, that man's not normal. He's just not a normal human being. Well, but I think it's going to be, you know, I think Luka's going to be, you know, locked in, ready to go now. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, all the cliches. He's angry. You know, he probably hates the way they went out in the playoffs, and it'd be fun to watch.
Well, you know, LeBron, you know, he's in the gym. He wants you to know it. And it's unfortunate because today was laundry day in his house and none of his Laker gear was clean. So he had to just put on regular Nike gear while he practiced it at the old Clippers facility. Coincidence, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe it's coincidence.
The day after Luka's tearing up the internet with his men's health article, LeBron loading year 23. All right, Bron.
I'll show you. And then I haven't read it, but there was people saying what Jordan and Kobe were guys he looked at for working out or something like that. I was like, come on, this is just, you guys are just being messy now. Come on.
Now, to be fair to the story, I guess, because LeBron hasn't said anything, but they've put it out. It's been said and reported on that LeBron has said, look, I ain't got no issue with Luka. My whatever perceived issue is how I'm feeling about the Lakers. But
his beef is, you know, hey, we kept on trying these roster moves and none of them worked. We tried these coaches that none of them worked, and you let all my guys go. Yeah, whatever. But you know, hey, but yeah, I don't think there's an issue between those two guys. They probably have beef with Rob Pelinka.
No. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. I don't think he has beef with JJ because I mean they were podcast buddies before he was his coach. Mm-hmm. So you got to be mad at somebody. And so let's be mad at Rob Pelinka.
And Rob is like, who cares? It's just one more Rob year. It's just one more year. Let's just get through
this. He's trying to get in good with the new ownership group. Like, hey, just don't do me how they do the Dodger.
No. Rob knows he's gone. Like, Rob is legit Jeannie's, like, homie. His her last tie to Kobe. Like, Rob knows. This is it.
Magic's already called Bob Myers and said, hey, you know when this is done, hey, you want to come back, yo. He's already made the phone call.
Let it be known.
Magic making phone calls again on the behalf of the Los Angeles Lakers. Jesus Christ, man. I swear.
Meanwhile, every time I go on the internet, the Kings are just catching strays. I'm like, God.
So there was one.
Scott Perry just trying to have an offseason.
Was there?
I'm like, why are all these national outlets just dumping on the Kings?
I think I was traveling when did the Kings relinquish a two-way contract while I was going?
Yeah, Isaiah Crawford.
Oh, and that didn't go well. Like,
they got to stop this. Why are we?
These fans got
why
so
are they so upset about that?
We like him.
I mean, I like him too, but come on, guys. We got to stop this, bro.
I opened the app one day.
Saying Crawford.
I was like, Donald Glover. I walked in. I'm like, forget it, man. This everything's on fire. I'm leaving.
Yeah, it was kind of tight. It was kind of tight about that.
I was off or whatever, but I check on my phone and somebody says the Kings roster looks like someone had the last pick in the fantasy draft every round. I'm like, and then this other dude was like, I'm just like, where's all this random Kings content coming from? And it's all just, I'm like, man, Scott's been there, what, 8 weeks?
Like, maybe longer.
But and did you see what he had to navigate through when he got here?
I'm just like, man, this is just, I'm like, it's crazy just because no one talks about the Kings when, you know, it's like they're trending back to we need a joke. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's make a Kings joke now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What other franchise is the joke right now? I mean, the Kings aren't by far, they're not the worst team in the league. I mean, but you don't see a bunch of Wizards jokes, do you?
No. Hornets, where are the Hornets jokes?
See, that's
the Hornets. Yeah, the Hornets haven't been funny since they had that random Charlotte game. That was the funniest thing they did between that and their star player getting his feet turned into a.
That was crazy. Come on, Melo.
Man, I'm just like.
Did you see that tattoo?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't even like feet.
It's been a rough 14 plus months or so for our fair skinned friends. It's taking L's with some of these decisions.
The Cheeto tattoo on your feet, that's crazy.
I'm just imagining this sitting there for the coloring of the. I'm old. I don't get it. I'm old.
I think the Kings get hate versus those other teams because there's actually, whether Kings fans like this or not, or anyone in the league, like, there's good players on Sacramento. Like, DeMar DeRozan is good. Zach LaVine is good. Domas is good. It's not – you got one good player, one and a half. You have one good player and, maybe one emerging in Charlotte. Washington, no one cares about Washington. Like, that ain't even a thing.
They're ready for football in Washington.
That's it. They're football and hockey.
But they'll tell you Washington's doing the right thing, though.
Okay.
Everyone
– okay, yeah, because Ted Leonsis, that's the picture of ownership I want.
Yeah, doing the right thing in July, whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, what are they doing? Clearing cap space to sign who? So they can go
free agent they've never signed before in their existence.
Yeah, right. Like they'll hope the Warriors don't trade Kuminga so they can make him that max offer. I mean, what are they planning on?
How do you think that situation ends? All of these. I mean, I think all of the restricted free agency situations are interesting. But obviously the one getting the most attention for a variety of different reasons, especially here, is the Jonathan Kuminga one.
I think he just ends up signing the 1 year, the tender, and
man,
going back. The way the market is set up now, it does not help him at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he can go out there and just get, you know, a big offer sheet. And the Warriors have no reason to just do a sign and trade because he wants one. I mean, he really, it's crazy how, isn't it crazy how just even restricted free agency has changed so much?
Yeah.
Like 10 plus years ago,
yeah,
those guys, you know, like, remember Zach LaVine signed the offer sheet with the, I mean, it was a big deal. Well, they met, and it was multiple players, you know, they would have, who was that small, there was somebody, I remember the Kings were trying to get, you know, the small, well, he got a Brooklyn, I can't remember who he is now. A lot of these guys didn't pan out the way you, maybe I forgot who it was. They were
none of them panned out the way we were hoping.
Yeah, but you know, the idea of the restricted free, you know, going to get that, you know, now it's like you're a restricted free agent. It's like, okay. I mean, I think and Kuminga's just in a tough spot because, hey, they're, you know, they got Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear that with Jimmy Butler and the way that team is set up, he's not going to be a primary guy. And it's like, well, how long is he supposed to wait? Clearly, he wants to play, and he would like to be in a situation where he can play. People will say, well, stick there. They've got a winning situation. If he sticks there long enough and Steph is gone, that's not a winning situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just it's tough because when he got drafted, they were on that weird two timeline thing, and no coach was going to – sacrifice that. You're not going to make Steph mad by deciding while he's still giving you 25, 30 a night. By the way, I'm going to prioritize the development of these young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, it's just not a, in terms of his development. I mean, other guys on the team have been young, like, you know, Pod's a young guy, but those guys all have different kind of roles that they can fill. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't seem like the Kuminga thing is a good marriage, but he doesn't really have any, you know, it's like he's stuck in a bad relationship, you know?
Hmm.
Like, you want to leave, but, you know, they're paying half the rent. So you kind of have to just ride it out, you know? Maybe the lease runs out at the end of next season and you can finally, you know, income tax hits, you can leave. But for right now, you got to ride this out. And I just think he ends up in training camp with the Warriors and it becomes one of those, oh, what if someone's, I saw something online, he can go back and they'll just agree to trade him. Why in the hell would he believe that?
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's,
I'm like, do you just tell us you think the man is dumb? Hey, just sign something and we promise we'll trade you on December 15th. What? I mean, that's why this time of the year was so funny. Because I'm like, really? He's going to sign because they said, hey, we promise to trade you on December 15th. Like, what? Just trade me now.
Right. Right, just do it now if you're trying to trade me so much. Yeah. I know we talk about like what we think is going to happen. If you were the Warriors, I put you in the Warriors situation, what would you do in this situation? The Kings offer is the Kings offer. You got the qualifying offer. You bring them back, all this other stuff. Like, how would you go about this? It feels like it's a losing situation either way, but which is the best losing situation?
I bring them back. He's still a talented player. He's still a young, talented player. And maybe you get through part of the season, you get, you know, get to January, maybe there's a team that sees him who thinks he can be that piece that pushes them to the next level in some form or fashion, and they offer more than what you're being offered. Mm. I mean, I think the Kings offer, whatever it may be, could be the Kings offer in January. I don't, you know, I think, you know, you have at least one, you have at least a couple of teams that are definitely interested. And you can always go back to those teams. If you don't like the offer, you don't take it. But I think eventually you're going to have to probably move him or lose him, you know, risk losing him for no compensation. But I don't know all the cap numbers for next summer anyway. Maybe there's no big time suit, maybe with the Wizards,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I saw someone was saying, well, yeah, let him go out there and get paid and be on a losing team. I'm like, yeah, go get paid. Sports has got to be the one thing where people shun you for trying to maximize your earning potential. Like, don't you want to win? He wants to get paid too. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing. Like, you can just stay with the Warriors and be competitive. He wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, on one hand, they're damned if they do, you know, if he wants to get paid, he's being greedy and not a winner. But why would he want to stay somewhere and not play for less money?
Yeah. And no one knows if he'll even be play.
Right.
Like, that's exactly. what you're talking about. You're going to stay and play for less money or just stay and sit there.
Yeah. And I think it's part of that, another effect of the CBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I said, it's one thing. Draymond was right. Draymond was right about
Draymond
this.
Draymond was right.
When Draymond's right, Draymond's right.
Yeah, he was 100% on this one from the jump. Like, no, this is terrible. And now look at it. It's like, okay, I don't want to say you feel bad for Kuminga, like he's, like something tragic has happened, but you just kind of feel like, well, shoot, what do you want him to do? Because was there a big free agency move this summer? Like, what was the big free? It doesn't feel like anything happened. Kevin Durant trade, it don't feel like anything happened.
Yeah, not really.
It was like, you remember, it used to be the first day of free agency would drop. Oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It felt like it just kind of happened and like, okay, all right.
And literally nothing happened with the Warriors. Only team in the league who hasn't made any transactions.
Literally nothing has happened. Nothing. Was it Al Horford just chilling like, nah, I'm cool, I'll wait. You got Russell Westbrook still sitting out there,
Russell Westbrook is, I think, with Luka on that tour.
Mm.
Probably a Jordan brand, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Russell's out there with Luka.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the big NBA news has been off the court stuff. Malik Beasley, the Morris twin and his stuff.
What was that? What is it? 200? They're saying he stole $250,000 from casinos in Las Vegas
and car dealerships.
That is wild. Wasn't that man on ESPN breaking stuff down?
Talking
about he liked the YNs on Memphis.
That's what he said on First Take. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And now, I said, that has got to be one of the wildest stories ever. Like, that Malik Beasley, but it's kind of like if you put gambling all around the league, guys might, gamble.
They said Morris was buying Phantoms with bad checks.
That's insane, man. That's insane.
That's crazy.
That is
that's insane. First off, the fact that he wrote a check. I'm like, I didn't know people still took checks. But you're buying a Phantom as if they can't find you.
Right. Like, how are you going to hide from that one? I remember they used to always on the Floyd Mayweather 24/7s and stuff like that. And it makes sense. I didn't really think it makes sense. But he would go to the dealership, buy a Phantom, and I like this Phantom. He's like, all right, and drive off. Like, no transaction or nothing. He just drive to the house. But the whole thing was like, yeah, they know me here. And the people would come to his house after he'd driven around a little bit, gets to the house, the finance and the car dealership guy would come to his house, and they'd finish out the deal there. But it was like,
that's what they do for you.
No, if I tried to go on Elk Grove Boulevard, they would security. hey, yeah, we've got a 544 and a 445. It's getting away.
Yeah, don't try it. Yeah, go for a test drive. I'm not going back. Yeah, that is just wild.
Be the leading story on CBS 13 News tonight.
Walking me out there like what's my man, Cuba Gooding. What?
I don't think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be them Hulk Hogan 10 bell salutes. I don't think it's going to be that.
Yeah, there'll be no smirk on your face.
Nah, I don't think so, man.
And Malik Beasley might be the first player I've ever heard who got his NBA paycheck garnished over a debt. What you doing owing a barber and a dentist, man? Come on.
That's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. Come on, man.
My question was, so my man's kept cutting your hair?
This whole
and it was season. Like five figures.
Coming back and tightening him up like, you got me next time, right? I mean, this stuff is just...
You big dummy.
My man didn't pay rent. I mean,
that's a good point. And what, like, whose fault is it really? If you wrapped up a five-figure debt with your barber, who's at fault here?
Damn, bro. I forgot my wallet at home, bro. I got you next time.
And that's 2 years straight,
yeah, you
bro.
Get the pat down.
He's pulling Napoleon Dynamite. Forgot my bank book. Hope you...
Oh,
man. Damn, bro.
You know, those guys are getting their hair cut sometimes like twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going because they got to, you know, they got to be right every, you know, whatever. But I'm like, you said so you just kept, you know, giving him, you know, giving him a taper, like waiting, like
Malik
will hit back on the 15th.
Malik, hey, you know, we're at 10,000 now, bro. Like, is there, man? I'm in the league, bro. You know, I got you. I'll be back.
I'm in the league, bro.
my man, living in Dan Gilbert's apartment complex and not paying him. That's been the most crazy part of the offseason is all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, we saw a real emotion from Jokic because of his horse.
Yo, like, hey,
that man would cry.
Hey, that man loves that horse.
Jokic was overcome with emotion.
That man loved that horse. I wasn't even mad at him. I was like, all right.
Not mad at him, just puzzled.
Was his agent on the boat with
LeBron.
Yeah.
And Maverick.
And what was the caption? Yeah. Making 2026 moves in 2020.
Yeah.
Soon. You know, hey, man, you know, LeBron going to retire after the season. And then, like, all remember, Denver floated the whole, what if we got to trade 15 out there?
Yeah, just random. Boy, the whole league is a work, bro.
No, LeBron just trying to buy some horses. What's the problem?
LeBron decides to come back for season 24 at the vet minimum so they can get Jokic. He makes less than Bronny in his last year so he can.
That's funny.
Man, oh man.
Hey, after that Luka deal, any conspiracy is possible.
No. After the number one pick in the draft.
Well, yeah, that's the one. That's the ultimate work right there.
Make a trade with the Lakers or the Clippers. You get the number one pick.
Yeah, well, those are the rules, Jay. We appreciate you as always, my man. Thank you, brother.
All right, yeah. Take care, y'all.
That's our man, Jason Jones, right there.
I forgot Jason, the Reds are playing the Dodgers this weekend. Today. That's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Go De La Cruz.
Didn't even say that with a lot of...
That's all. The baseball season's over, bro.
Oh, we're there?
They lost again last night, bro. It was a bad week. They lost again last night to the Pirates, man. It's over for these dudes, bro. Damn.
So was it never real or?
I thought it was real, but I saw somewhere they're like 13-24 in their last 37 games.
Damn.
And that includes like the Marlins, the White Sox, the Pirates.
See, that's
all these sorry teams that they should be feasting on.
That's the killer about the baseball season. It's so long. Like you could have three different seasons within one season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad one for your boys, right?
You would have thought my team was doing bad after trading Rafi Devers, but it's yours.
See, we don't need the peanut gallery to chime in here. We don't.
Hey, peanut gallery. Are you guys even got a playoff spot right now?
No.
That's peanut gallery right there.
All right, man. It's good to be back here after apparently the final vacation I will ever take.
Funniest part is that you say that after every vacation.
Yeah, just once I'd like to come back to no nonsense.
That was
just it once.
Happen. I didn't. Cam Newton is the one who started this one. I didn't do nothing.
Well, it was Jim and Dwight that had the no nonsense or zero distance. Yeah, that's me and Casey when you're out.
Great. All right. We'll run it back here. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to join us. If not, we'll see you at 10 a.m. beginning with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Aces.